I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
The Sunrise guys are a little salty this week.
The game is over, man. Stop it. Pack it up and go home.
It's rivalry week.
I didn't watch a second of that game, and I'm probably not going to watch a second of any Oregon State football game the rest of the year.
This is a rivalry week edition of Dirt and Spray, brought to you by Roto-Rooter, the experts in plumbing, drains, and water cleanup on the Fan Sports Network. 105.1 FM, 1080 AM, and the Odyssey app.
Hey, welcome back in. Hour number three, Dirt and Spray here, Portland sports leader, 105.1 FM, The Fan, 1080 AM, the Odyssey app. We're live on YouTube. Happy Monday morning to everybody out there. Hope your weekends were great. We got a lot to get to in this hour of radio.
What helps ease the pain of a triple backdoor?
Easy, Swag. Easy, buddy. Easy. We will get to your university and their coaching search, because you're flying coaches in via coach to interview for the job.
Hey, man. We're just here for our game.
What?
What? Your game?
Your game.
You playing Portland State without Bruce Barnum?
Was I not sure? Yeah, Bruce Barnum got turf this weekend.
Barney Ball, RIP.
What took you so long?
Yeah, just a decade too late. Yeah.
Can't go one for.
No.
Didn't they go like two for last year? Like,
I mean, I feel horrible saying this again, but I think we legitimately should ask the question. Why
do they have a program?
Why are they still playing football there?
That's a very fair question to be asked.
When your paycheck comes from two games a year, you lose by 70, and then you...
Then you don't compete with anybody else.
Not a lot of fan interest in it. You're not raising any money. You're not making any money.
But we fired the whole staff!
Just, what are we doing?
All right. Who are you going to hire? Are you going to pay them like $60,000 to commit their entire life?
They play in Hillsboro. They don't play in Portland anymore. You know, there's a lot
of... Those assistants make legitimately like $55,000. If they're lucky, and they have to recruit as if they're Dan Lanning.
Yes, it's just an endless job at that level.
You make no money.
No.
You play in Hillsboro, even though your institution's in downtown Portland.
40-minute bus ride.
You have to go to Cleveland High School and be like, hey, man, I know you're the backup, but you look like you got good size.
You want to come play for us? You want to come out here?
University of Portland State.
Come on out here. So that happened this weekend. We will get to your coaching search. But we spent a lot of time on college football there the first 2 hours, mainly Oregon beating USC this weekend. Danny Meringue painting his face today, I'm assuming. He's painting.
We'll find out.
That's true. They have a game tonight, so he's got to do game. You know, he's got to clean his face off. Maybe it's tomorrow. We'll see. Time will tell.
If he was in the face paint for the post game, that would be awesome.
Could have been a nice little follow-up of the bet. He's got to do it for 24 hours. Exactly. Can't wash it off, so he's got to show up to the post game of the Blazer game tonight doing the face paint. Right. So time will tell if he's painted his face for the show today. I'm eagerly awaiting seeing him after he greeted me with one of these. One last quick note. Actually, I have more on the game, but just one last thought. My thoughts on the USC marching band, again, confirmed. I want to fire them all into the ocean. They should be tossed off of the top row of the stadium to fall to their death, because they are the worst thing that's ever existed in the history of sports. I can't stand them.
You know,
they play the same song over and over again. They play it in the middle of things that Oregon is doing in their stadium.
I know.
Like, they're playing, they have the song they play at the end of the first quarter, the Mac Carney song, Coming Home. And it's, hey, everybody claps, and some people like it, some people don't, but it's a cool little moment. Hey, we got a song.
Sure.
And the whole time, the entire middle of the quarter, or in between quarters, they were playing that stupid song over and over and over.
You could hear it on the TV at random points, like in the third quarter. I'm like, why are they playing this right now? It made no sense. The funny thing would be if you did toss them off of the stadium.
They can just fall on their instruments so they don't die, but, you know, just get them out of the stadium.
Well, but like, much like a cartoon character, the coyote, when he falls off the cliff and it has that whistling sound effect that just slowly disappears into a... It'd be like, bum, 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 bum.
Fading away as they fall down. I don't know what the protocol is on, like, can you tell another team they can't bring their band?
I don't know.
Because you can tell them where they're going to sit, because Oregon put them all the way at the very top of the USC section. Penn State does that at the top of their stadium.
But
like,
usually,
you go all the way up there.
Usually game ops, like, coordinates, okay, you can...
This is when you can play, and this is when you can't play. There were multiple times where both bands are playing at the same time, because they won't shut up. This isn't your stadium.
Yeah.
God, I hate them with the passion of a thousand burning suns.
No, that would be an issue. It's like, no, this is when you can play, and if you guys continue to...
We're kicking
that,
you out. Get them out of here.
You're not coming.
Yeah, I do wonder for the stadiums that are a little like higher, like Oregon Stadium when you're at the top, it's not really that high.
It's only a single bowl. There's not a second level or a third deck or anything like that.
How many nerdy band camp kids are on those bands that have to sit in legitimately third story stadiums? Like the one at Reser is kind of high.
Oh, it's up there. That's a hike.
How many of those nerds have their trombones like, I got vertigo. I'm nervous right now.
Carrying your tuba up 38 flights of stairs. That's not easy to do. And then you got to blow the entire game. You know what I mean? Anyways, I hate the USC band, and that's why they lost the game. And Lincoln Riley sucks. Let's get to the NFL. Some thoughts out of the NFL this weekend. We touched on it briefly earlier. It was a part of Jason Swigart's triple backdooring, which you never want to have happen to you on a Sunday.
Not for spraying the line, no.
Not for spraying the line. There was a lot of noise around this team going into the weekend. Hey, they hate each other. Is it going to blow up? What's happening? The receiver hates the quarterback. The quarterback hates the receiver.
Ooh, yeah.
A lot of that chatter, right? Mm-hmm. And then you look up in the end of the first half, and you're like, oh, the offense is playing great. This game's 21-0. Now it's 21-7 at the half. Ah, this game is over. Philadelphia got shut out in the second half in Dallas against that defense, mind you.
Mm-hmm.
That defense shut them out in the second half. Dallas, and they could have won the game by more. Philly muffed a punt, handed them the ball inside the 10-yard line.
And then they couldn't score
on
the goal line.
Yeah. They got stopped on fourth down, so they should have had another touchdown in there potentially, but they kick a game-winning field goal. By the way, they also missed a field goal earlier in the game, too. It could have been wider. And Dallas scores 24 unanswered points to beat Philly. I don't imagine... They're taking this very kindly at WIP over there, our wonderful friends in Philadelphia.
Ooh, let me see if they've tweeted any, like...
I mean, I got to imagine...
First time, long time. Let me go.
Some callers who were pretty pissed off, but it did lead me to wonder just where does this go for Philly? Because that was a game I think we all kind of assumed that they would win, and that certainly did not happen
yesterday. I mean, look, when we talked about this, I kind of poo-pooed it on Friday, and Swag was interested in it, and I get it. He's got a tie to it. He was a Cowboy fan forever. The Eagles are a team you absolutely hate. They're going to get the Bears here on Thanksgiving. That's in 4 days.
Black Friday.
Black Friday, thank you. The Prime Video standalone Black Friday game. And then you're at the Chargers, and then you get to end with Raiders, Commies twice. Get the Commies twice. You got the Bills sandwiched.
Very manageable schedule. Look, Buffalo in there will be tough.
I think they're just kind of are what we think they are. They're an elite defense who's capable of scoring, but it's not consistent enough to trust. By the way, I kept wondering, like, what the fallout of this is going to be. Maybe we'll hear more chatter out of Philly about how much they don't like Jalen Hurts. I really don't want to hear, like, if I'm a Howie Roseman, so I'm a brilliant dude. I know how to build a football team. And maybe they've already made their decision on this topic. If I'm Howie Roseman, this is the week specifically, I don't want to hear a peep out of A.J. Brown.
Mm.
You want to be part of this thing? You want to keep building your career with us? Shut up this week. You got 10 targets. You had 8 catches for $110.
You got the ball,
you got a touchdown.
Yeah.
Like, we gave you the football. He threw your way. You got your stats. We just collectively could not piece it together offensively and defensively. We couldn't get a stop at a pivotal moment. I don't know what the grandiose takeaway is for me other than Philadelphia will be live going into the playoffs to win it again, and that won't be some grand take. But right now in the power ranking of things, the Rams are the standalone favorite in the NFC.
Yes.
And look,
deservingly
And I kind of do believe in the fundamental, you know, to be the champ, you got to beat the champ. And certainly they will get their due, Philadelphia, come postseason time. But if
they
you have to
probably
take away,
beaten them in Philly, by the way, they had that block kick ran back for a touchdown.
If you are to take away something from how the regular season plays out this year, it should be, it's the Rams and it might be everybody else. And I don't know how to sort all this out. Maybe Philly's better than Seattle. You know, where the wild card's going to be out of this thing. I don't know how to sort it out other than to tell you I think the Rams have deservedly earned. They are the team to beat in the NFC going into the playoffs. And the Eagles will certainly have their chance to defend their crown. But right now, you look at the way it's all shaken out. That second half by Philly was a disaster.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the NFC North where you had Detroit have to go to overtime at home against the Giants. And they found a way to win. They needed to. But it wasn't pretty. It
was clunky at times. What was that defensive performance?
Just getting torched by Jameis Winston. They gave up 366 yards and two TDs to him. I mean, he was all over the place. He threw the one pick. But outstanding game for Jameis. And I think you question a little bit of that with Detroit because they've been so good at bouncing back. Now, they got the win. That's ultimately all that matters. I think you say the same thing in reverse for Green Bay. And we'll get to that game in a moment, but Jordan Love in that game had 139 passing yards. They won the game, but it wasn't really,
that was ugly.
Wasn't really anything that Jordan Love had to do. One other team that we talked a lot about last week going into the weekend, and we can carry a little bit of this over, but I told you I had the hammer in one hand, I had the nail, I was holding the nail in the other hand, and I was giving it a the nail's been pulled back out. We were just getting it loose so the hole was ready, because you got to make sure the hole's ready to go so the nail goes in easily, and now the nail is out of the casket because the Chiefs were damn close. It was right there.
They were down 11 in the fourth quarter.
It was right there. Yeah. They were only kicking field goals. Mm-hmm. When Gray dropped that ball along the sideline and it would have been a walk-in touchdown, I'm like, that was a play that those guys usually make for him, and then they came back and won the game in overtime.
Yeah, and weirdly, my takeaway was great game for the Colts, despite Taylor not going for more than, I think, 60 yards on the ground.
Yeah,
and
I'm not going to be too critical of the Colts.
I didn't think Daniel Jones was all that great, but their defense, I thought, for the most part, played pretty well, and they're in Arrowhead. That's the most desperate that Chiefs team has been all year.
Life on the line.
And they're right there with a lead. Now, they blew the lead, and you can certainly point to that and say, well, come postseason time, spring, I'm not going to trust the Colts. Okay. All right, that's fine. I still think that was a good effort. I actually don't have that many good things to say about the Chiefs. They took care of their business. They came back. They won their game at home, and they beat a really high-quality team, I think. But if they're going to flirt with being this every week...
Yeah, they finally win a one-score game. They had not won yet at this point this year.
That's a tough one, man. That's a tough one for me to really put a whole lot of stock in. And I'm fascinated to see what the Christmas Day or the Christmas Eve, whatever it's going to be, the Bronco rematch.
Yes.
I'm fascinated to see where they go. I'm not burying them. You know my stance. I will not give up on them until it says eliminated.
They're in Dallas on Thanksgiving. That's your middle-of-the-day Thanksgiving game.
Do you know who's going to win that game?
I have no idea.
Okay.
No idea at all.
And that's my point is they could very well be the first three-quarter Chief team that's losing at home to the Colts, or maybe their fourth-quarter Chiefs. I don't know what
Chiefs
to make of
minus 3.5 current line.
I'm getting the hook.
You getting the hook?
I might take the home team on the short rest hook.
Feeling good, staying at home.
Yeah. Look, they were shut out at one point 21-0.
And then they scored 24 in a row.
Yeah. And so I circled that and more said, hey, good effort there by the Colts.
Yeah,
weird Chief team.
They didn't turn the ball over five. It wasn't one of those kind of games. Like, if Danny Dimes came out and threw a bunch of picks and you're like, all right, it got away from him, I think everybody would have been right there with you and saying, I don't buy that team at all in the playoffs. They could have won that game. It was close. Daniel Jones wasn't a world beater in that game, but he was fine. He was efficient. They couldn't run the ball a ton.
They got an early turnover deep in Kansas City's territory.
The pick at the 5-yard line that gets deflected up, hands him a touchdown. So it's a game that could have gone either way. I think the Colts are... nobody's going to pick them to win the AFC, but I don't think they're going to be some pushover come playoff time because of their ability to run the football. That will exist for them. The Chiefs stay alive for another weekend. Now they go. They're 1-4, by the way, on the road this year, and they go to Dallas on Thanksgiving. Let's get to a rough weekend for this guy. And we talked about this in landing earlier. Sometimes you have the lead into the game, and it almost becomes like a trailer or a preview of what is actually going to happen in the outcome of the game. That was not the case for this guy yesterday. We'll talk about him next on The Fam.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
All right, we get into the Oregon State coaching search. What are the online markets saying about who the front runner is to be the next head coach? You guys going to go hire Chip Kelly?
Mm.
You want Chip Kelly?
No, we might be going Casa Diablo.
It's a good poll for anybody who can get it.
Yep.
Look, I'm sometimes hard on athletes, and sometimes I'm wrong. Sometimes I'm critical, and they end up making me look like an absolute idiot. Other times I'm critical, and you watch a game and you think, God, that guy really does suck. And that happened to me this weekend. Before we get to the performance, I would like to play a soundbite. This is from this past week.
Yes.
Going into the upcoming game. Mm-hmm. And something a certain quarterback in the National Football League had to say.
Go back and you watch the film. How close are you to piecing everything together and just saying, like, man, if I would just do this, we would be much better than what we are?
I feel like, for me, I kind of make the analogy of just like, you know, a cork about to come off a bottle. Just understanding that it's, you know, one to three little things that I need to change about my game that is going to make a huge difference in the outcome of every single drive in the game. So, yeah, I feel like it's really close, but it all comes down to the consistency of.
Well, that cork got popped, and that cork went 12 of 19 for 87 yards and two interceptions this weekend.
Yeah, he threw a sick out pass to Jefferson.
Sick out route, dude. Justin Jefferson's numbers are cratering because nobody can throw him the football.
I know. I traded him in fantasy, as stupid as that sounds, because his numbers have been terrible.
The Minnesota Vikings went on the road to Green Bay, and I just gave you J.J. McCarthy's stat line. They couldn't score a touchdown in the game. They had four drives, had the ball four times in the second half. You want to know what they did? Three and out, gained 2 yards, punt. Three and out, lost 12 yards, punt.
Yep.
Three and out, lost 17 yards, punt, and an interception on the first play. If you're keeping count at home, at one point in the second half, they had like negative 30 total yards of offense in the second half of the game.
Yeah.
And Green Bay did next to nothing offensively, but they didn't need to because this is quickly turning into a disaster for the Vikings.
Yeah, and they needed like a 57-yard field goal from Reichert in Green Bay conditions to go through to get to 6 points.
Yeah, just like, to kick their second field goal.
That was almost
early.
A 60-yard field goal they needed that cat to kick. So like that doesn't even – their field position was terrible. They are interesting going forward. They're not a good football team. So like their season's done. They're not going to make the playoffs. We know that about them. I don't want to devote too much time. He is exactly what you have said. This was brought up during camp though. There were people leaking, whoever you trust or don't trust in the media landscape,
Not everybody's right with their sourcing and reporting 100%. There was a national radio guy that used to be on our station that was saying there's noise out of Minnesota that this is not good.
Not looking good right now.
And they poo-pooed it. And then the Bear game happened where he was terrible for most of that game. And then they got some stops because Flores is a genius. And they scored, what, 24, 23, yeah, whatever they ended up doing to win that game.
They were getting dominated the whole game and then came back late.
And it was suddenly like, oh, look at this guy. Look at this guy. And he's been nothing but bad sense. And to say that you're a cork ready to pop going into Lambeau Field where Green Bay's defense can be good and score six, I mean, I don't even know if I want to give you credit for 6 points because you didn't do anything. You threw for sub 90 yards and two picks. I have to wonder. You have to wonder this.
Yeah.
We see great offensive-minded coaches whiff on quarterback decisions.
Your team did
all
it
the time.
5 years ago.
They did it, and they've learned their lesson. They found a guy that they like. This might be what this is. O'Connell might have evaluated poorly and said, that guy can, I can win with that guy. Harbaugh did. And then you watch the tape like everybody else with a brain did and go, well, he handed the football off a lot. Blake Corum was good.
They ran the football.
So I don't know, man. I don't know. I'm not saying they're going to pull the plug before next year.
You give them the rest of the year. You see how it goes. See if there's any improvement. But the hard part is there's nothing. Like, what would you point to say, all right, it's been ugly, but at least there's that.
It's his rookie year, and that's what you point to. It's not even specifically a game so
far. Something that he's done, yeah.
And I don't know if it's going to get better, how it's going to go. But if it doesn't, if this is kind of what it's going to be, that his best game is 135 yards for one touchdown at a six-yard average, and all of his advanced metrics say he's one of the worst to ever do it, you're not going to have long leash next year, man. And that's what I kind of wonder with this is Minnesota's in a funky position.
Yes, they are.
They've got a great defensive coordinator. How long is he going to hang around?
Yeah.
You got a great defensive players. You've got weapons. Like, I don't, and their offensive line's been banged all hell, but their running backs are good. I like Mason Jones. We know Addison and Jefferson, like, you've got Hockenson at tight. Like, they've got good football players.
They do.
So I don't know if you're O'Connell and you're, I'm blanking on their GM's name. I don't know how long they're going to go if this doesn't show drastic improvement because your window in this league is tiny. And you want to use Shanahan and the Niners as an example that took a quarterback that wasn't good. Dude, they bailed on that after like more than eight starts.
You have to be willing to do that because you see it internally day in and day out. And you know, like, he's a smart offensive coach.
Yeah.
He knows what the hell is going on there, and he's trying to build this guy up, and he's not going to publicly kill him. But there have to be conversations going on right now of how long do we give this? You're going to give it the rest of the year because there's no alternative the rest of the year, and he needs more snaps and he needs more play. But if this is what continues to be put on display, we lean sometimes on that he's a winner and he put a drive together. Like, dude, they went on the road and when he was in college and beat Penn State and he didn't throw the ball a single time in the second half.
Yeah,
he was the Jimmy Garoppolo of college football. And he's a
and
winner.
Almost everybody that wasn't a draft pundit was kind of saying that.
Like, that's the guy you're going to take in the first round? Yeah. Like, hey, third round project, maybe, but a top 15 pick in the draft?
I mentioned it because I saw it on the timeline because we follow some Viking related people. Yeah. Like, some of these podcasts today are saying, like, Flores's defensive aggressiveness in camp might have wrecked his mechanics. And I'm like, dude, when you're having to do that kind of spin of why this is this way, maybe that kind of tells you what you need. If he's a franchise quarterback, are we wondering about Drake May?
No.
How aggressive was Vrabel's defense this summer against Drake May? No.
Yeah.
You either have a franchise guy or you don't, or you got something to build on at least. You can have questions about a lot of quarterbacks, right? But this is next. This is Ryan Mallett, Ryan Leaf bad.
They track at Pro Football Focus. They track, the stat is probably just on target throws or whatever. Essentially tracking the number of passes that you throw that are catchable balls. So just tracking when do you put it in the radius of where a guy that you're throwing it to can make
catch
a catch,
right?
And Drake May right now is number one in the NFL, and they won again this weekend. And New England continues to pile up wins and probably run away with that division. He's somewhere, I want to say, in the 75 to 80% range, and that's number one in the league.
Mm-hmm.
The league average in that stat is just shy of 70%. It's like 68 to 69%. I think I saw this weekend when I was looking through the numbers. So that's, all right, about 7 out of 10 throws you're putting in a catch. You know, every once in a while you throw one away or, a turf one or maybe overshoot a guy, whatever. About 70% is the league average. After this game this weekend from J.J. McCarthy, He is now, of all the qualified quarterbacks, he is dead last in the NFL. Mm-hmm. The number of throws that he is making that are on target and catchable is 45%. Ugh. Again, Drake May is at nearly 80%.
Yeah.
That's almost he's cut in half.
Best, I think his
and they're both second-year guys. I mean, he's having an unbelievable year. So you say, well, don't compare him to that. Just compare him to league average. You're 30% almost below what league average is. To be at 45% of catchable balls as an NFL quarterback, that's embarrassingly bad. And if you're that inaccurate and you're not seeing the field the way that you need to, like it just there's not a lot of recipe there to turn that thing around. That was a disaster for them this weekend. I didn't go well. One other quick NFL note. We got some more leftovers to get to in the final hour of the show.
By the way, I know these defenses are good when they're playing well, but like it's not like the other side of that. Not like Jordan Love was lighting it up either.
No, it was not. That's a whole nother conversation, and you know how I feel about Green Bay. They are just a weird, funky team right now.
Really weird.
Capitalizing on wins against teams that they should beat. They should beat Minnesota, and they took care of it.
Mm-hmm.
From where Dirt was right to where Dirt was wrong, to steal an old column bit.
Sure.
And I'm not wrong yet. I'm not going to die on the hill, but I will give them their flowers. I don't know how many fans of the team that we have listening to the show. The Bears keep doing it, man. They keep winning. They're 8-3. I thought that they were going to probably, like, that had Bears losing written all over it
when
for me.
When Gainwell did the fake tush push run, you're like, they're going to lose.
They're going to lose this game.
This is a typical Bear game.
One of the notes on them, though, to talk about giving your quarterback a chance to succeed, right? Like, Caleb, I thought he had the one turnover in the end zone where he got a little loosey goosey with the football and they stripped it and it ended up being a sack.
Yeah, that's kind of his thing, his pressure. He's still not handling it.
Hold on to the ball.
Yeah.
You know, but he's having a better year this year.
Yep.
One of the biggest reasons why. You go hire an offensive minded head coach. What is that offensive minded head coach understand? You got to have protection to win. And Chicago doesn't have the best offensive line in the league, but they spent a lot of money on it in the offseason. They lead the NFL in pass block win rate at 73% through 12 weeks.
How about that?
They finished the Steelers game with a 85% pass block win rate,
mm-hmm.
where essentially you get over 2.5 seconds to throw the football. That's the second highest rate in a game this season. When you look at a lot of the stuff that Ben Johnson's doing, it's chipping with the tight end, understanding where pressure's coming, like just having everybody on the same page and giving him a chance to thrive. And so I'm still not going to back off. I don't think they're an elite team. I wouldn't be scared of playing them in the playoffs. But here comes they're 8-3, and they might win the
three,
they might win the NFC North, dude. They keep winning football games.
I'm gonna be so pissed off if they win that division.
That's
and
gonna
I
be a brutal
it.
Back down on you.
Talk about getting backdoored swag. Me picking the Bears and getting laughed at by every listener except one. And then flipping off of the pick, and then they end up doing... Oh, my God.
I wanted to give them their flowers for a moment. Let's play a quick, fun game, and then we'll go to your coaching search.
Yeah.
They're closing, let's see...
Casa Diablo search.
They're closing 6 games of the season. You ready for this?
Yeah.
In Philly on Black Friday.
Yep.
At Green Bay the Sunday after that.
Mm-hmm.
Then you get the Browns and the Packers at home back-to-back weeks. You go on the road to San Francisco for a Sunday night game.
Yes, you do.
And then you close at home against the Lions.
That's a brutal schedule.
That is a gauntlet of a
That's
schedule.
6 games total?
That is their final 6 games of the season. They are 8-3.
I think they
so
go
got
2-4.
2-4 in that stretch?
2-4, my prediction.
Okay. 10-7? I mean,
10-7
year. That's a playoff
well,
team.
Well, maybe.
Likely in the NFC wildcard race.
Because wasn't Seattle 10-7 last year with McDonald? They missed it because of the tiebreakers,
so.
Right?
I mean, but you look at the NFC wildcard race right now, like how many? You got Chicago, you got Detroit and Green Bay obviously behind them. In the NFC right now.
You're in the mix.
10-7
might get you in. It puts you in the mix.
Right now, the 7 seed in the playoffs is the San Francisco 49ers at 7-4. And then it's Detroit right behind them at 7-4.
3-3, so. I think you're happy as can be if you're a Bear fan out of that 6-game stretch. If you're 3-3 or better, man, you're over the moon.
Their point differential is still a negative on the year.
I think they're the only division leader with a negative point differential.
I think Tampa's still technically in first, and now they're a negative after yesterday.
After last night.
After last night, they're on -25, Chicago at -3. So there's some. We got some more NFL thoughts we'll get to coming up in the final hour. Has Oregon State found their guy? Flight tracking? He's in town. We're flying coach. Is the coach here? All right, welcome back in. 8:38 on your Monday morning. Happy Monday morning, everybody. Whoa. Lots to get to, including the Blazers making literally no sense. No sense at all. Anybody explain Friday to me? I saw a guy who works with the Blazers this weekend who talks about them, and I asked him, can you make any sense of this team? And he said, I had a script going into that show, and I had to rewrite the entire script.
Really?
We all thought we knew how that game was going to play out, and that's not how the game played out. And then yesterday went exactly how we all thought it would.
Yeah,
so.
We knew they were going to get bludgeoned by the Thunder for payback of what happened the last time they played, which... It's kind of nuts, man. I don't have any negative or real positives. You had Caleb Love and CeeDee Sissoko go crazy against the Warriors.
Yes.
And then you just were going to get bludgeoned by a clearly better team as you were depleted. there is such a weird team.
Very weird.
And it's hard to really have an opinion outside of, you know, they're really banged up.
They're very banged up.
But
that's become the new, did you know Denny has a good contract this year?
Yeah.
I noticed that this weekend, too, going back and rewatching the Duck game. That's also the Bryce Betcher baseball thing has turned into Tez and Bo.
Well, Tez caught a touchdown. You know hey, that Bo Nix's brother?
Did you know that Bryce Betcher played baseball?
I heard about that.
Do you know he's a center fielder?
He's pretty good linebacker,
he's
though.
He's roaming around center field for the I've defense, if you will. Have you heard that? He can play both?
He makes no money either.
No, he makes no money.
He gets absolutely nothing out of being an Oregon Duck linebacker.
He actually pays to go to school there. He's not even on scholarship. He's still a walk-on athlete.
Yeah, I don't really know what the opinion should be of the Blazers. I find them very weird right now. Sometimes they're a tough watch, but you're also a second half Caleb Love comeback and a 22-point comeback against the best team in basketball we've seen in 5 years away from being 5-13.
Yes, you are, Bob. Yes, you are. Well, the online betting markets are telling me that there is a front runner to be the head coach at your Oregon State University.
Oh, we know who it is.
We have a front runner, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah! Lindsay Lee, get off the stage. It's Casa Diablo time at Racer Stadium.
A guy who is 57-12 in his career, a guy who won a pretty pivotal game this weekend, and then jumped on a bird and flew to Portland, Oregon. And our friend Ryan Clark was there to greet him at the airport, waiting like a sicko in the SEC. Well done, Ryan Clark at the Oregonian. Great reporting
journalism.
On that.
Good
journalism still
weekend.
Alive and well.
Yeah.
The front runner, according to all betting markets, to be the next head coach of your Oregon State Beavers is the head coach at Montana State, Brent Vegan.
Mm-hmm.
We like him vegan? Are you vegan for vegan?
I'm not going vegan for vegan.
You're
but
not
going
to go vegan for vegan?
Yeah. I mean, vegan would be more outside of the box than Paul Christ.
Yeah?
I don't know if they're going to make the hire, but the market may be suggesting that's the case.
Can I ask you this question? Because I didn't realize, I've known who Brent Vegan is. He played against Oregon this year. That was their opening game. Mm-hmm. I remember listening to his press conference, like, all right. Remember, I was nervous going into that game because Oregon almost lost Idaho last year.
Beavs played him a couple years ago at Providence.
Right, so he's been around for a while. He's been there, again, their head coach. His first year at Montana State was 2021. I did not realize that he is 50 years old.
Yes, he is.
So I think sometimes, like, how old is Jimmy Rogers? I should have looked that
Jimmy
up.
Rogers. Jimmy Rogers.
Who
I don't know.
Almost has 3 wins over 44? Playoff teams this year. He seems like he's
36?
Younger than that. He's 38 years old.
There you go. Okay.
So that was the only part of it for me of, I mean, who cares how old he is, right? Maybe he's there a long time. Maybe he's not. Maybe you fire him in 3 years. I have no clue how it's going to play out. He was older than I thought he was going into this.
So does that matter to you? Because here's what it tells me. Okay, this is just my thought.
Yes.
Okay, if they go vegan, which, you know, at this point, the meat's not working for you anyway, try something new, okay? You care about your health? I care about the health program. Let's go vegan. If you go vegan, I have no indication that says whether that's a good or bad hire. You cannot give me Montana State stuff.
No, okay.
You cannot don't give me the North Dakota State coaching.
He was there at North Dakota State for a long time. Yeah. He went to Wyoming for a couple of years and then took over at Montana State in 2021.
I have zero idea, and nobody that's covering this or talking about it does either. They're just going to tell you that they do, but they don't. If it does succeed, I don't have a lot of good feelings that that's a long-term hire. Now, that, to me, it doesn't matter to me. I want whoever's going to get them in the right direction as possible.
Yeah.
And so if he wins, let's say, 7-8 next year and surprises everybody in the new Pac-12, and then the year after that they win 8-9, and then the year after that they're competing to win the conference, and then a bigger program and a power conference comes calling and he leaves, I'm not going to sit here overly concerned. I'd rather them just get to a relevant level.
Yeah, because that means you're winning games and you're doing what you need to do as a program. I mean, you don't want to go through that, but it's a lot better than having things crash into the side of a mountain and firing your head coach 18 games into his tenure.
And I told you, the idea that I had, it should exist if it doesn't. Like, how these kinds of schools, the Oregon States, the Montana States, who, by the way, great track record of history there. Like, these programs, Washington State should be this. How you don't form a constant committee that is basically in line to watch college football, and you go hire the Dave Bartus of the world and say, keep eyes on coaches for us. We'll pay you a retainer.
Just a constant updated hot board.
And anytime you're in a position where your coach is sexy hot and gets recruited and leaves, you're not sitting there pissing in the wind.
Yeah.
How that doesn't exist, I will never know. But you need to be operating at that level instead of the, oh, he's going to leave. Like, if that's how you're operating, then you're not, I don't think you're hiring for the right reasons.
Yeah. We should find an update on this. I would imagine something's getting announced this week. National Signing Day is on December 3rd. Or, I mean, Oregon State's recruiting class is horrible.
If they
horrible,
have a Black
right?
so, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday timeline, that wouldn't shock me.
No, not at all. Now, the interesting wrinkle of this all was yesterday that Vegan's flying into town. He beats Montana. They win their big rivalry game. A lot of people thought game day should have been there this weekend. Sounds, I didn't watch it, but it sounded like it was a great game and Montana
They're
State
the
won
number
by three.
Three seed, I believe, in the
okay,
FCS
going to the FCS playoffs.
Tournament.
So he beats him. He flies into town, and then you get the update yesterday that Justin Wilcox got fired.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what that does for Beaver fans. I don't even know if he's interested in that job. I don't know if that's something he would want to do. I have no idea if he wants to jump back and be a head coach right away. He's gonna get looks though, probably.
But if you get a head coaching gig and it takes you back home,
does that? Yeah, I mean, does
you're
that one
$4 million a year to be a head coach?
So let's just play the fun game quickly. You guys are Beavs. How would you feel if that was the hire that they made this week? All of a sudden, Wilcox get fired. You give him on the call. He comes in interviews. Hmm. And you think, you know what? The guy's from Junction City. He lives 10 minutes from here.
He's always been an in-between
His brother
guy.
Is yeah. now coaching high school football at Junction City. Shout out to our buddy Josh Wilcox.
Yeah.
Would that get you going?
Well, the voice of the Beavs is a duck. The head coach of the Beavs could be a duck. I mean, get
the rivalry
going.
Thing is one thing. Like, Wilcox coached at Washington for years.
Dirt, the hard part of this is die hard, like live and breathe every second of it, are probably going to have a stronger emotion than I. And get me going? I don't know who the hires should be.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I'm open-minded to a first-time head coach, a guy that's coaching at a lower level. Hell, you know I'm not a big Paul Christ guy, but if he gets hired, I'm on board. Get me going's a hard thing to say.
That's fair.
But is Wilcox, like, is he capable? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
The biggest thing I'm concerned about is if you bring in somebody that's been at a Power 4 program to come in, how long will they be tolerant of not having the resources they believe a Power program should have versus if you go the Vegan route, who's been at the FCS level and he understands being scrappy and resourceful and all of those things.
More with less, if you will. Yeah.
Is that more conducive to where the Beavers are at this current point in time? That's what I don't have a good feel for.
So here's that's a good point. I would also say, like, did Wilcox kind of have to deal with that at a lower Power 4
level? Some of that at Cal,
like,
no, that's
we
it.
We don't have the budget.
And that's what you have to go through the interview process to see where their heads are at or understanding and get a feel for. But is it like, you know, 6 months into this thing, are you going to be griping and moaning or asking me for, you know, a whole bunch of raises for your assistant coaching staff and the recruiting budget and all of these things that we told you in the interview process we don't have in place right now?
Yeah.
That's what you got to avoid.
I just don't know. Like, I don't think he came here for his first interview. And that's kind of what it seemed
that's
like.
That's why this seems a little more. Yeah.
That felt like second interview with Booster, AD, president, like, hey, all right, now everybody gauge how we feel about this guy.
I think the reporting
which is
was
why he's a favorite.
That the coaching committee did interviews,
yeah,
and then they pass along names, and now the names get to interview with the athletic director. Now, Scott Barnes.
The athletic
is in the
director
mix.
Or the gal whose email the athletic director put on his email contact?
She's probably
list.
In there. She'll take notes on the meeting. Okay. She's there.
All right.
So there's your latest on the Oregon State coaching search.
Is it too late in the process, too, to go to Wilcox?
Can you call the committee back? Have they already disbanded? Is the committee still there? What about your coaching search firm? Are they still around? Are you still getting your 2-1, buy one, get one free deal from them? Can you call up Wilcox and get him in front
he
of that committee?
He's supposed to be the duck coach, and now he's going to be the beef coach.
It'd be pretty wild if he ended up in Corvallis, man. So he got turf. We'll see how that all, if it shakes up the plans at all. Let's do some college football fun with Adi, and we'll do that coming up next on The Fam.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally. so unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you, so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you, and everyone on your list, at prices that get your budget. At DSW stores or DSW.com.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
All right, we got a lot to get to in the final hour. Some lingering thoughts on Oregon and USC from the weekend. Blazers went 1-1 over the weekend, and they're back in action tonight, so we'll dive into that a little bit. Some leftovers in the NFL as well.
Yeah, we have a quarterback do something as a rookie for their franchise for the first time since 95.
How about that? Before we do any of that, though, kind of a shorty here, if you will, an Andy Dirt Johnson, as Sprague likes to call it.
A Diet Johnson.
A Diet Johnson. How about some fun with audio out of the college football world? Well, one of these not a ton of fun. Did you guys catch the Utah-Kansas State game on Saturday? Were you keeping an eye on that one?
I missed most of it, but I kept an eye on it, and then I turned it on at the pivotal moment.
It's tough timing for
Kansas
me because
it was up a little bit in this game.
It was same time as the Oregon USC game, so I didn't get a chance to watch it live. But then I'm driving home, and I got out of there pretty quickly after Oregon went up by 15. I'm like, all right, this game's over. And I hit the road and I turned on, I listened to the end of the Oregon game, and then when that game was over, I flipped over. I was watching the Utah Kansas State game, had the phone going, and Kansas State had 300 rushing yards in the first half. They had Utah on the complete ropes, couldn't convert a first down late to ice the clock. Utah gets the ball back. Dampier scores a game-winning touchdown. So Utah's playoff hopes are still alive as a two-loss team. But we have asked questions about their head coach for a long time, and a lot of Utah fans are inferring based on this that this might be it. So let's do the, you know how they do those like body language readers on the news? What was their body language like? Mm. Let's read the tone of voice here from Kyle Whittingham. Is this it for him at Utah?
Just so happy for our seniors to be able to go out with a win, their last opportunity in Rice-Eccles. Excuse me, when I think about our seniors, I get emotional, so I apologize. But it's just so awesome for them to be able to have that experience.
What do we think? Reading the tea leaves here.
We've been able to interview Kyle a couple times, once in person.
One of the nicest dudes out there.
Legitimately on and off, super genuinely nice guy. I cannot tell you, though, if he got emotional last year during senior day.
I can't either. That was my contention, too.
If we found a press conference from the last 2 to 3, and it's him, like, Cam Rising, right, as tough as that was career-wise to end, I'd imagine if you're emotional every senior day, that's one that's like, you know, in Cam, and then you get choked up because he's been there for... If he hasn't, then this is a huge deal because he might be him telling you without telling you, this was my last senior day at Utah.
And that's why I'm getting emotional.
And that's why the emotions come pouring out a little bit, but he's still in the thick of a playoff race, to be fair.
They close on the road at Kansas, and they got a great shot at going 10-2.
And I don't know if they're going to get, you know, what their final record is. I tend not to think they're a playoff team, and I think the committee is kind of telling us they don't want them in the playoff.
They need some dominoes, a lot of dominoes to fall their way.
But playoff or no playoff, like, that dude's going to, he potentially is ending on a great note.
Yes, 10-2 is a great year.
A 10-2 regular season, however it goes after that, phenomenal to be able to do that at Utah. You have to wonder where they go post-Whittingham, but that's interesting. If the emotions are there consistently,
then this is a Kyle as usual. If that was choked up and hasn't been really choked up when talking about past senior days, I think there's a lot of reading the tea leaves there.
One other one, fun with audio out of the college football weekend. So we just mentioned Justin Wilcox got fired. They lost to Stanford. It was the, what do they call it, the Battle of the Axe or the Golden Axe?
Yeah,
or whatever
the students passed the axes to from the loser to the winner.
Hilarious visual.
And talk about a loss, man. This is not a loss you should have, let alone by that margin.
So in the middle of the game on the ACC, Cal and Stanford played on the ACC network this weekend. Just contemplate that for a moment. Mm-hmm. In the middle of the game, they're interviewing Andrew Luck, who is the GM behind Stanford football. And this is maybe the most Andrew Luck interview of all time.
Stanford's general manager and Andrew Luck, we were talking a little bit about how important this rivalry is. For you, being able to be a part of it, how meaningful is it?
It's huge. It was great to be as a player and now be as a GM and watch these guys. I'm going to watch here for a second. Oh, ball! Go, Jay! Go! Go, Jay! Go!
So good. So wait for the end of it. Yeah, there's a lot of fans there.
We just talked about this rivalry. To see that play just now, I mean, describe the emotion.
Hard to say. It's a hell of a job by Omar and Jay Green. I'm going now. I appreciate it.
He's just like, all right, I'm done with it. I'm not doing this, dude. I'm done with this interview. Ball, ball, ball. The most Andrew Luck interview of all time.
Now,
good to hear from him. He should just be their head coach. I don't know why he's not. You see him walking around on the sideline, like high-fiving everybody. He's getting guys going. Like, he's on this. He's their coach. Just make yourself the head coach.
He's GM.
Be the coach and the GM.
By the way, does this not prove why GMs are important? Like, look at that guy. That guy cares.
He
I don't
cares,
know if they'll
man.
Win
he's
in
invested.
His tenure, but that dude genuinely yeah. cares about Stanford.
Yes, he does.
And so I think anytime you get somebody that cares that deeply, you should lean into it. Who are they going to hire? That's a fascinating job, is it not?
It's a very fascinating job. Maybe.
Talk about hiring a Paul Chris type.
Yeah.
I mean, it's basically West Coast Wisconsin, but smarter.
Be physical at the line of scrimmage, run the ball, get a decent quarterback.
That's kind of their MO.
That's what Stanford is, but funny moment from Andrew Luck on the sideline of the ACC network between Cal and Stanford. We got a lot to get to in the final hour of the show. Some leftovers in the National Football League. The Blazers are back in action tonight, and some lingering thoughts on Oregon's 15-point win over USC. It's a loaded final hour on a Football Monday, next on 105.1 FM The Fam.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.